in welcoming Congressman Steve Cohen to the program. Congressman.
Good afternoon, Kevin.
Good afternoon. Great to talk to you. Thanks for joining us. I know Congress is on recess right now, so what does that mean for you? What are you doing here with your August off?
Well, lots of meetings with constituents. We're going to have a town hall next on the 11th of the month at Mississippi Boulevard Christian Church, which is where we had one in the spring, have another town hall, and we'll be meeting with constituents and visiting some locations where we've been invited to visit businesses and or community areas in the district. So when we're off on break, I don't necessarily take a vacation. I'm not too much on vacation. Work is what I do, and I'll be doing work.
All right. I want to talk to you about some other, non-pressing issues today, more of the stuff that means a lot here to, the people in Memphis, like the Memphis Tigers, your favorite team. And recently there was an unsuccessful bid to get into the Big 12 that involved a lot of money from a local corporate and booster support. What were your initial thoughts when you found out about that deal? Did you know about it before? Or what's going on here with the Memphis Tigers trying to get out into a better conference?
I only know what I read in the paper about the deal and the Tiger supporters who offered commercial help to the Big 12 conference, et cetera. But I had asked, it was a different Big 12 commissioner, I believe, at the time, but about 5, 6, 7 years ago, we tried to get in the Big 12. And there was a meeting of legislators who were interested in college sports, and I'm one of them, with the Big 12 commissioner and maybe a few other commissioners. And I asked the Big 12 commissioner at the time about Memphis, and we weren't included. That's when they took Central Florida, Houston, and Cincinnati. And they had some other teams they considered after there was some complaining about Memphis, and they were still interested in possibly in Tulane, Rice, and another school that was a little better academically, but not so well on the diamond or the court. And they were interested. I said, how can you consider them and not consider Memphis? And he just looked at me and he said they were not even a factor. It's academics, and they're not even a factor. Now, the academics have gotten better, and I know President Hargrave and the whole university is happy about being a stage one research institution, and that's important and good. But the undergraduate program still has deficiencies with its incoming classes and some of the curricula there. So I guess that was the reason. And that was the reason 6 or 7 years ago, and it's still the reason. And it's unfortunate. We need to get in a better conference to have the basketball program be successful and the football program to go to the next level. And we're not going to do it playing and beating East Carolina and Tulsa and UAB, et cetera. It's not going to happen.
What do you think the Tigers should do now that they got turned down by the Big 12?
Well, I think the athletic director is a smart, savvy guy, and I don't know whether he will just wait and hope that the ACC is probably going to implode at some point. It'll probably want to stay around in some capacity, and maybe we'll have a chance there. And of course, he was at Virginia and might have knowledge and access and some. But what it comes down to is, can they make money? And Fred Smith was a great supporter of the Big 12 push, and 6 years ago, and the FedEx. So I think he'll probably wait on that. I don't think he wants to do the Pacific Coast Conference. I thought that that might be something good. It's a long way away. And some people said do that in football and try to get in the Big East in basketball. But, and we were in the Big East for about 2 months or something, had our name up there on Times Square and big billboard. But the Atlantic Coast is probably our only hope, and I guess Clemson wants to go somewhere bigger, Florida State wants to go somewhere bigger, and then maybe Miami will too, and maybe their TV markets, because Miami's is, and Clemson's a power, and Florida State's been a power, and maybe in Virginia would be another one that might. And then they do seem to consider academics when they look at Virginia and they look at Clemson. I don't know that they'll go to Duke, but they could take 4 schools, and the ACC will need 4 schools, and I think Tulane comes before us the way things have looked, and South Florida may come before us, but if they take 3 or 4 schools, we'd be 3rd or 4th.
Oh, wow.
That's a hope.
Yeah, it's definitely a different time now. The outside of the Tigers, the Memphis Grizzlies, there's the story out there. Mayor Paul Young was trying to get the lease signed for the Grizzlies by the end of the summer. It doesn't seem like that's going to happen anymore. Do you have any thoughts on the status and the importance of the Memphis Grizzlies here to this area?
They're totally important. I mean, Fred Smith's passing is the biggest loss that Memphis has had in recent memory. And we hope Richard Smith can try to fill those big shoes, and Brad Martin is the chairman of the board. But that's a big loss to Memphis and to Memphis State and possibly essentially to the Grizzlies. Pit Hyde does a lot, but Fred Smith is the man. If we lose the Grizzlies, I think it could be devastating to the city. It would kill our pride. It would kill a great institution that brings people together. The Grizzlies draw a diverse racial economic crowd, and that's something you don't get otherwise in Memphis. I think it's important to the community. I hope that we continue to have the Grizzlies. We're a very low TV market franchise. And I forget Robert Pera is his name, I guess.
Yes.
He never shows up around here, so maybe he watches the television. I don't know what he does. But hopefully, and he always sells the team. The team's worth a ton. I mean, the billions of dollars goes for these teams, no matter where the market is. And somebody might want to buy them and move them to Vegas or Seattle or wherever. So, I mean, I don't know if we can keep the team forever, but if we can, hopefully we can.
When
we lose them, it's a terrible day.
When you're walking around shaking hands in Washington, D.C., and you say you're, you know, the representative of Memphis, what do people say? What do people say to you?
Well, I mean, they say a lot of things, but you know, Memphis. Sometimes someone might bring up the Grizzlies. They rarely do they bring up the Tigers, but the Grizzlies might come up. Elvis comes up, and barbecue comes up. That's the main two things: Elvis and Q.
So Elvis barbecue and Grizzlies. But are they talking about your appearance on the rehearsal? So HBO's rehearsal, season two, and the penultimate episode featured an appearance by Steve Cohen. You were Nathan Fielder visited your office in Washington, D.C., which I have before. But I did not bring cameras, and I did not try to convince you some unorthodox plan to fix aviation in this country. What, looking back at that, are you happy you had him there, or what are your thoughts on Nathan's visit?
It was fine. I didn't know who he was, and some of our staff people knew his show and seen the first show, and they liked him, and they said he was funny, and he was a big time guy coming up and all. And I thought I didn't know much about him and hardly anything. I didn't really do a lot of book work on him. He was pleasant enough and to talk with, and we did talk some after the show and after the broadcast and all that. I think it was okay to do. A lot of people have asked me about it. There was a guy, I was at the airport yesterday in Washington, flying home, and the guy came up to me, who teaches at Grizzly Prep, Eddie Walsh, and he mentioned that he'd seen the show and talked to him and wanted to mention some about Nathan Fielder. We talked about a bunch else, too. A lot of people have come up and mentioned being on the show, and they saw me, and that's never a bad thing that they've done. It's not what I've thought back, when did this happen before? And I was on Stephen Colbert very early in my time in Congress and Better Know a District episode that he had. People talked about that, and it doesn't hurt to have a little bit of attention in an arena that's other than politics, especially when you're in the minority during a kind of unusual presidency.
Yeah, absolutely. So did you go back and watch the season of the rehearsal? I'm guessing you watched your episode at least.
I watched my episode. I don't know if I watched the whole episode or just watched the part he had with me. And I didn't really get back to watch his other shows and stuff. He apparently people love him. He's got an unusual sense of humor. He's kind of got, and I don't know if this is a shtick or what he is, but he's got a very unusual personality, and that's kind of altered and a little bit difficult to deal with. You don't know where he's coming from. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know either. I talked to him. He claimed he wanted to talk to me about autism, and I had a bill on, and still have a bill on evacuation of airplanes in a quick manner. So it's supposed to be that people can be evacuated in 90 seconds, and that they don't really accomplish that with the tests they do. They're unnatural and improper, so we're trying to emphasize the need to get people out of planes. I think this crash they had recently somewhere was they did 10 to 15, and I forget what caught fire, maybe the landing gear or something, but 10 to 15 minutes to get everybody off.
Oh, wow.
But he said he had an interest in that, so I thought it was good to do the show because the Evac Act, and we could talk about that. But then I thought maybe autism had something to do with difficulty of getting people out. And my concern is always people have disabilities or people have a dog with them or a young child or people who are over 65 or under 65. 16 or 18. I forget. They have a bottom age limit. It might be 16 or 18, but there are a lot of younger people on the plane, and there are a lot of people over 65. And they had none of those people, and nobody with a disability, and nobody that, it wasn't a representative sample of a typical airplane flight. So I thought autism was just another class of person that might have difficulty in coping with an evacuation, and maybe that's what you want to talk about. But he didn't want to talk. He wanted to talk about pilots and talking to co-pilots and thinking that was a way to decrease crashes because of the relationship between pilots and co-pilots. And that's been studied by others in the aviation industry, including the FAA, but other groups, and they see there's no correlation whatsoever. And they don't have a problem, and it's something that they have in their continual education as the pilots, co-pilots work together and work as a team, and they do that. So it was just something he came up with, and he thought it was a big deal. And, you know, we talked a bit, and he never really got it in the vac hat.
Right.
And he might have brought up autism, but whatever it was a shtick, and it was fine. And finally, I had to get up and say, you know, it's nice to meet you. And, you know, did not hope you'd guess on my name, but it's nice to meet you. I've got to go on and do some other work. And he just kind of sat there, and he finally got up. And that ended the broadcast, the show. But afterwards, he stayed around for a few minutes. We took pictures with each other and talked about some stuff and friends I had in the industry that he knew and might have known and whatever. So he was a little more engaging than he was on air. On air, he was kind of a nerd.
Well, for those who don't know, Nathan Fielder is very – Memphians will remember Andy Kaufman, right? Like, Andy Kaufman had a special approach to things.
Kaufman was brilliant. He's not Nathan Fielder's world.
Okay, not in the same world. But he did mislead to get into your office. It seemed like he did mislead what he was doing to get into your office and talk to you about
this. No, he never brought up anything about airlines, about pilots and co-pilots, and he had all these studies he'd done and brought out these, handed them to me when he was in the office. He didn't bring that up. He allegedly wanted to talk to me about autism.
I think what I would recommend, Congressman, as you do have probably a few extra hours this month than you usually would throughout the year, and I know you're focused on working for the people of Memphis in the United States, but if you do have a few times, you know, to knock out some hours while you're traveling, I'd recommend watch that season, because he does bring up, while his approach is not something that neither one of us necessarily would have thought of to do it, he makes some interesting points on airline safety and knowing the co-pilots knowing each other. Now, how he presented it to you and stuff, not the smartest way. But he ended up, you know, he's a pilot. He's a pilot now. Like, it's a spoiler alert, but he's a pilot. So anyway, I would recommend, Congressman, you checking out that whole season if you can stomach it. I know you are very close to it. But for those who watch that, they know you are the ranking member of ranking members.
I was a ranking member on aviation, but I was appointed to the Intelligence Committee, which is a very sought after committee, which I had sought for quite a few years. To get that spot, I had to give up the Transportation Committee spot. So I'm no longer the ranking member on aviation, and I was just there long enough to have my moment and with Nathan Fielder.
After that,
an area where I have the moments I have to be kept to myself, or I'd have to kill you.
Right. That's what it's like. Yeah. Wow. I mean, you have gone from the transportation and infrastructure, but you a committee to subcommittee over to intelligence. That's that does seem like a much more serious. All of it's serious, especially these days. But I did want to ask you about MATA, since you do have so much experience tracking this stuff with transportation. There's a MATA scandal going on with the credit cards and the spending. What is happening with MATA? Is somebody going to jail over this? What have you seen from this? I mean, why does MATA have a suite at FedEx Forum for Grizzlies games? That doesn't make any sense.
It made no sense to me either. And as far as anybody going to jail, it's Steve Molloy or this new fellow who's recycled at the U.S. Attorney's Office would determine whether or not there's anything there that's federal or criminal. But, the idea of them having a box was just anathema to me. I couldn't believe it. And I've gotten a lot of money from that over the years. Electric buses and trying to get a system where they can have a new maintenance facility out near the airport where they could charge the electric buses, because their maintenance facility is awful and it's kind of a hole there around Chelsea and sinking, as I understand it, and other monies for the trolley and different things that are important and good, and people need mass transit. and need to get around to get buy the groceries and see their physician and just do their daily chores. But what they were spending money on, it was just astronomical, and there were great, tremendous credit card bills that were they had and buying all these goods. And I go to Grizzly games, and I share my tickets with two other fellas, and that's enough games for me. I don't know who they have go to the games and who they give the tickets to. I don't think they give them to the Riders.
Right.
And it's not the money, but I don't usually eat there. But they were buying all kind of stuff in the suite for all those. And the food in the suite, I usually end up in the suite once a year somehow. I go up there. And they've got a pretty nice smorgasbord up there. But to have it on the taxpayer's dime, especially on an agency that deals with people that are less blessed than most, it's bad.
All right, we're wrapping things up with Congressman Steve Cohen. This week is the golf tournament happening in Memphis. And I know recently you were a big part of making sure St. Jude's gets that $3.4 million grant to St. Jude in a time where a lot of people are worried about money going to science and research. St. Jude getting this recent grant here.
Well, I think this suffered. I think there's still some other grants they might not have gotten.
Right.
And there's been a ton of grants in the billions of dollars range that deal with cancer and deal with heart disease and deal with stroke and deal with diabetes and Parkinson's, you name it. That's where the discoveries are made, is through grants and eventually treatments and or medications. And I've always said that the Department of Defense is important. But each of us individually, I mean, we could have a bomb, and I know that from just general overall knowledge, not even from my committee work. But the likelihood of Russia shooting a nuclear weapon at the United States or China or Kim Jong-un or whoever is not very likely. But the odds of us being attacked by cancer or Parkinson's or diabetes or stroke is very likely. So the Department of Defense, in my opinion, is the national Institutes of Health that provide the research grants to come up with the cures and the treatments, and to cut those is just foolish, and it's foolish. I mean, the purpose of the government is to protect people, and protect people against foreign adversaries, but also against disease. And we are the leader in the world on research, and we need to continue to do that. So yeah, I'm happy St. Jude got it. And you bring up the golf tournament. I read about it today, and it's the history of the tournament. I was reading back. It's been here for 67 years or something. I remember back in the early days, I went out there, and I've got a photograph of Ben Hogan that I took at Colonial. And Ben Hogan was in the tourney, and Tommy Bolt was I think he might have won. That's a name from the past and maybe beyond your time. But Ben Hogan, everybody knows Ben Hogan. But there were small crowds out of Colonial. You could go out there. I was like 9 years old then. But you could hang out and people right up there among them and get autographs and see all the stars. And it's grown into a great tournament and gets because of Fred Smith largely, but also St. Jude. And just a lot of people come. I think it it wasn't Guyberger who had the 62. It was Trevino. I think Trevino might have had a particular fondness for St. Jude, but some golfers have really been supportive of St. Jude, and one of the reasons they came to the tournament and gave it a kind of a nice panache.
Yeah, you mentioned Fred Smith. It is a kind of bittersweet tournament this week. They will be honoring Smith with a moment of silence. They've got a FedEx flyover plan for the tournament this weekend as well. Do you have any Fred Smith stories or memories you'd like to share?
Well, I'm going to speak at his service, as quite a few elected officials are. Fred was just a remarkable human being. You didn't think of Fred Smith as being businessman, universal businessman, known and respected throughout the entire international business community and political community, and he was. He was just, whenever I dealt with him, he was just Fred Smith and took my phone calls, and we talked about stuff, and he was nice as he could be, and he cared about Memphis, and he cared about the Tigers, and a brilliant man, and it's just a terrible loss. You can't think of hardly anything. I'm sitting in my house right now, and think up the streets of the zoo, and Teton Trek, he's funded. His daughter lived out there, and she died of an unusual illness, and she was a photographer, and they've got her photographs in the lodge. But he did that expansion, and Diane, his wife, was the president of the board and very involved in the zoo. You go to the stadium, all the new stuff is, Fred's pledged a lot of money to that, and he pledged a lot of NIL money to Memphis, the University of Memphis. The National Civil Rights Museum is always available to give. He did so much for the city, and he did it with the St. Jude Golf Tournament as well. We had that crowd that came in here, the Shyster investment crowd, I forget, Stanford or something, and they almost broke the tournament. Fred saved them.
Right.
The only thing it can be is much of a loss. If we lost the Grizzlies, it'd be the same as almost as losing Fred Smith. Destroy this community's soul.